Yeah, I must say, I mean, I've preached thousands of messages in my lifetime, but every time I get nervous. I think it's one thing I get nervous for. Why do I get nervous when I have to preach? I think simply because of the awesome responsibility that we have for those who share the word, that it must be truth, it must be based on the word of God, it must glorify God, and there can't be anything of self and other things in it. So if my legs tremble a bit, it is not because of you. It is because I just know the responsibility that I have. Shireen, I'm sure it was quite an experience for you this morning, something very different, but thanks for coming. You and the others that have come with you. I have some family here, two of them have birthdays today. And so it's a family occasion as well. They couldn't all be here, but I'm grateful for those that have come. This message is going to be a little bit different. And I'm going to start with a very, very strange thing. I'm going to start talking about thieves. Why do I do that? In this world, we have a lot of thieves. And we have to be aware of what they cause. To us all the time, we hear horrible stories on TV often, and other places. We hear sometimes people close to us, sometimes we affect it ourselves. And so we take a whole lot of precautions in order to ensure that we isolate ourselves as much as possible and put things in place that will prevent us from being affected by that which thieves do. So I just quickly wrote down here this morning, just in the 10 minutes or so of driving down here, I had to close all our windows that have got burglar bars. I had to lock the doors. I had to put the alarm on. I then had to unlock my car, open the gate, close the gate again to make sure no one gets in there. Drove here with my doors locked. When I entered here, there was a security guard to look after things, and there's gates here as well. And finally, I had to lock my car and hope that nothing will happen in all this time. So thieves are a big problem in this life, and we have accustomed ourselves and conditioned ourselves to do all that we can do to prevent being affected in a direct way, or even sometimes in an indirect way, but the harm that is caused. Now, as Christians, there are things that we should be doing in order to put ourselves in the right place of things that we often don't do. And it's that I want to share about a little bit today. So I've actually titled my message, Are You Ready? Not only ready for what is going to be shared now, but ready for what is to come. And we need to do certain things that are much more important to do than the things that we isolate ourselves from because of the thieves. So if we can turn to the first scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 and 2. So, now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. And is it? It's verse 1, that verse 1, that verse 2. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So we never know when a thief can affect us. So we also not ever going to know the exact time and date that the Lord is going to come, because it'll be unexpected. But there are things that we need to do in these days in particular that can help us to be ready for that day. And so as we make ourselves ready to ensure that thieves don't get into our house, in this case, we got to make things ready and prepare ourselves in order to have the greatest moment in history that's ever going to come, when the Lord will come and we're going to be with him. But there are things that we need to do now in preparation for that. I think for us older folks, it's kind of, we're more conscious of that often, Averly, as we talk about it at Com and so on, because more than likely our time is closer than yours. So, but that's not the reason why I'm sharing the message, because it's not about age, it's when it's going to be. And so, we don't know. The Bible makes it very clear. And it's no good speculating and do anything about it. We don't know when it's going to happen. So if we look at verses 4 and 5 of 1 Thessalonians 5, let's just look at that. But you, brothers and sisters, isn't that us here? Are not in darkness, so that this day should not surprise you like a thief. So we are here this morning for reasons of spending time with the Lord. And yes, for some of you, it may have been very different to what you've used to. But in our heart, we love the Lord. We come here to rejoice in who He is, what He's done, to glorify His name. And we do it in a very vibrant way, as well as in a very serious way as well. And sometimes in a very quiet way. But all the ways are all there to help us to prepare. And so if we look then at verse 5? You are children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness, because Jesus is the light. So the light is always with us and in us. And then if we look at verse 8 to 11 also. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. At least that's why some men have to go to this meeting that's going to come soon. Among other things, be sober. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, and it's always, we know that, it's always because of what's just been said, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. That's one of the blessings of having comms, having meetings together, spending time together and so on. Because we can encourage each other, but we encourage each other obviously also for a purpose, in that it all should help bring us closer to the Lord. Yeah, just by the way, I've even left my glasses there. Freaking them know I've had an eye operation, so at the moment I can see further, but I can't see close. So, and this is in between, so if I sometimes struggle a bit. This week I'm going to have the final check to know what's going to happen. But the question then is, are we ready? Are we ready for what main purpose? The second coming of the Lord. There are 660 prophecies in the Bible. You can count them, check if I've got the correct numbers. But according to what I've been able to work out and hear from others, there are 660 prophecies there. Strangely enough, half of those, 330, are about Jesus. Of the 330, there are 109 which tell of His first coming, which has happened. And then there are 221 which tell of His second coming. So it's particularly now those 221, and I'm not going to speak on all 221 this morning, but it's particularly those that we need to do something about and understand it. Jesus Himself spoke of His own second coming 21 times. Those are more important, okay? 50 times we are told to be ready for the second coming. So if the Bible tells us 50 times to be ready for His second coming, I think we should take note. And that's the reason or purpose why I'm sharing. It's not because I'm old, but because it could happen any time. It could happen while we're in the meeting right now. We don't know. There are I do keep kind of half an eye on things that are happening in the world, not from the point of view of just the interest in what's happening in the world, but from the point of view of seeing how it affects that which it says in the Bible is going to happen. And I can tell you, the things that the Bible has prophesied are happening in an exact way. There is no doubt of the fact that it is happening that way. Now, I haven't studied this exactly, but people who spend a lot of time in this kind of generally agree that it's probably now at least 90% of the prophecies in the Bible have been fulfilled already. So we're talking about probably less than 10% of what is still to happen, which is another indicator that it could be quite close. What it's also saying to us, or what Bible scholars also say, it's not the individual prophecies only, but it's when they start happening together, when they converge together and are starting to all happen together, then we know it's very close, and that is beginning to happen. So it's an important time that we're in. Most of us believe that the time of the Lord's coming is in our time. So if it's, now you young people are going to say, no, we're the first one to get married, okay? We all did that. We all said in our time. But if it happens before you're married, you won't bother about it because it's going to be much better than marriage. So don't worry too much. But those of you who are ready to get married, get married. Okay? Hey, maybe I shouldn't say that just in case. So are you ready? As believers, we really need to realize that the contents of the Bible are and will be and tell the truth, but they are clearly indicating many of the things that are likely to happen in these days. And much of the focus, I think you can guess it, much of the focus in the Bible and in the end times is around the nation of Israel. So now you will know why everybody hates the Israelis and why everybody becomes anti-Semitic. Not everybody, not us. Huh? But why there's such a target against them? Because obviously the devil knows that God has a plan for that nation and that he's going to do everything to prevent it, including getting certain countries to make nuclear bombs to get rid of them and so on. So that's why certain other things are happening in these times. But the focus is, in the end times, the focus is on Israel. And I may say a few things about that just now. So Matthew 24 and verse 42. Therefore, if these things are happening in Israel also, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So keep watch, and that's what all of us must do. Let's just keep watch. Keep an eye on what's happening in the world, because you can, and if you keep in line with scriptures and read it, you will just see more and more and identify things and help yourself to get ready even more. Deuteronomy 30, verse 3 to 5. Takes a bit longer in the Old Testament. Because I can't read so much, I've just got these to remind us. I have to depend on the scriptures. But is it a problem? Is it okay? So we'll just wait a little longer. Thanks. I've got mine in my pocket. Thanks very much. Hey, that helps. Thanks, Rex. It's good to have the right kind of people in our congregation. We've got all kinds of all things. And it makes me look better. All right, there we go. Now I've got to take them off. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery, to make you leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. I think I've got the wrong scripture. Yeah, it's 30. It's Deuteronomy 30. So we'll skip that one. It talks about the nation of Israel coming back. Jeremiah 32. You managed it with those? Okay, let's not be too concerned about it. There are a couple of scriptures I've got here. If any of you want them afterwards, you're welcome to get them, that clearly indicate the return of of Israel becoming a nation and the plans of God concerning Israel as a nation. And we know that happened in 1948. Okay, so that's a key prophecy that was fulfilled. And so there are many others that indicate about it. So don't worry, Barry. We'll go on to Matthew 24. Matthew, you're not yet 24, you're 18. What, 17, eh? But this is Matthew 24. Okay, Matthew 24, Jesus speaks about the end times. And if we look at then verse 3 and 4. Okay, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And verse 4, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. So we look out for the signs. But we also watch out that no one deceives us. So the Bible is the truth. The Bible is telling us, keep an eye on this. Realize it could happen any time because some of these things can accelerate very, very fast and happen quickly. And so we really, I would encourage us all in these days, not only because I believe God is coming soon, but I would encourage us just to look at some, not necessarily just these scriptures that I've got here, but study the Bible as well and check these things and check what the Bible says in relation to what is to happen, because the purpose of my message today is helping us all and reminding us to be ready for His coming. That's the main thing, that we be ready for His coming. Yes, we can do all kinds of things still while we can, but more important than all of that, let's put things in place that make us ready for His coming. God did not just bring the Jewish people back to their promised land just to have another nation on earth. He had a purpose, and everything will happen around the Jewish nation, Israel, at the end of the age. And then very important, the Lord is preparing the platform for His second coming. So that is what is happening now. There are things taking place, and the platform, and again, if you study the Bible, you can see these things just coming into place, and it's all getting ready for His second coming. And Israel is a timetable and the fig tree of God, which is part of the end times. And if we can look at Zechariah 12, verse 3 and 4. So, I'm not here to promote Israel. I'm here to promote the Bible and what's going to happen. If some of you don't like the Jews, that's your problem. It's not about the Jews. It's about Jesus coming to that land. And that's what's going to happen. And He's going to do a lot with the Jews, and they're going to suffer a lot as a result of their disobedience. But by the way, just as an advert in it, there's hardly anything. You can take your cell phone. You can go and switch on the TV. You can drive your car. There's something in all those things, in everything that you touch, there's something that the Jews made in that. So you got to keep an eye on them anyway. So more and interesting that more and more, have we found Zechariah? Okay. On that day, when all the nations of the earth are gathered against Israel, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. Hey, I think certain people must read the Bible and they will stop doing what they're doing. Because our God knows what he's doing and preparing things for that time. And it's interesting, though, that more and more Jewish people are actually being born again. So that's an incredible thing. And a Messianic Jew is something special, really. Then they have a lot of knowledge. You can read of some of them. Very interesting. Not long ago, I was asked to speak at a Presbyterian church, one in Central. The pastor of that church is a converted Jew, Messianic Jew, a Presbyterian. He was born again in the Presbyterian church, baptized in the Presbyterian church as an adult, filled with the Holy Spirit in the Presbyterian church, and is now leading a Presbyterian church. So it's just wonderful. And he asked me to help him. He's got a lot of Malawians in his congregation, and he wants them to be trained to go, that when they go back to their country, they can take the gospel back to their country. So, yeah, it's wonderful. Okay, Matthew 24, verse 7 and 8. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. You don't have to tell ladies about that. But it's comparing it to make us aware that it's close. It's close. They're the beginning of birth pains. Matthew 24, 12 to 14. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. We know that wickedness is increasing across the world, and it really in a huge measure. And so more and more people are growing cold. Even people leaving church are sad. Okay? And then also Matthew 24, 32. It's verse 13 first, that's fine. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And that's my hope and message for all of us who are gathered here today. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Linda, my daughter sitting there, has just written a book on the Bible. It will be published soon, and you'll be able to get it. I haven't read it yet fully, but I've seen what it looks like, and here and there we discussed some things, but it's going to be a very special thing. But when it's okay, why I'm saying that is that there is so much that we can see and learn and know about the Bible that if we can really, sometimes things are difficult. But if we start seeing these things together and we see the plan together, then it's such a beautiful thing just to know what God has given us and is giving us to prepare for these end times. And then if we look at Matthew 24, 32 to 35, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Well, we're going into winter, but you can check in a few months' time. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. So when we see all these signs, as we see it on the fig tree, which Jesus himself explained, and Israel, by the way, is a fig tree of the Bible, then we see that this plan is unfolding very fast. And wanting us to get ready for the day to come. So what should be our response to these end times? So I want to just leave 10 things with you that you and I can do in order to prepare for the end times. So let's look at Matthew 25, verse 13. That's the first one. Therefore, keep watch. Some versions say, be awake, don't be asleep. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. It could happen as quick as now. It could happen any time. So we need to keep watch. Revelation 3, verse 2. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. So there are things that are unfinished. They have been then, and they are now, and presumably in our lives as well. So we need to wake up, and we need to do something about it and get ready. So number one is be watchful. Don't be asleep. Be awake. See what's happening. Be ready. Read the word. Understand it, and so on. Number two, pray. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. Therefore, or the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. So we need to pray for the coming to come. We need to pray that we're ready. We need to pray that the Lord shows us what we still need to do. Number three, we need to actively be doing what God has called us to do. Luke 19, verse 13. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. So in that, it really just tells us that whatever we are given to do, do it. Keep on doing. Be active. What your ministry is, what your gifting is, do it. Whatever it is that God has called you to, just do it and be active in it. People keep on mocking me because I keep on saying, because of my age, that's my last trip to Uganda. And people laugh and they say, then I go again. And then I say, it's the last trip, I definitely can't do it anymore. I go again. So we'll see what happens. While I can, I'll go. You can mock me, it's all right. But that's what God called me to do, so I must do it until I can no longer do it. Number four, be blameless and holy. 2 Peter 3 and verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. That's what we are called to do until it happens. We can also look at, that was at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why it's good to have like this course that's coming up and so on. It all helps us, hopefully helps us to be blameless and live a godly life. Number five, obedience. 1 Timothy 6, verse 14. To keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is important for us not only, say, to read the Bible, but also to be obedient to it, to be obedient to main thing. Why do we have comm? Why do we have meetings on a Sunday and so on? It's not, yes, we do have some fun as well, as we noticed this morning. But at the same time, we also, it's wonderful with biblical things. We can have a lot of fun and we can be very serious at the same time. I don't think in other things we can have it as much as what we can have it in the things of the Lord. Number six, John 14, 1 to 4. Let's just read the scriptures first. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Isn't that an incredible thing? that God is actually, that He looks at each and every one of us and says He's preparing a place for each and every one of us, that He's waiting to see us and be in that place. And that way, we can have peace in our hearts. Number 7, patient waiting. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. So we eagerly wait because we do really believe it's going to happen fairly soon. And then probably the most important one, number 8. 1 John 2, 28. Dear friends, I should call you dear brothers and sisters too. I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. 1 John 2:28. Sorry, I don't know how that happened. Are you able to go quickly to 28? The most important part of that one is really to continue in Jesus. So if it doesn't come up, that's fine. You can write it down. You can read it at home. And then number 9. Do good deeds with good motives, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Okay. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. In the time that we still have, let's do good to others as best we can and as often as we can. And then lastly, number 10, it's 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So when the Lord Jesus comes, probably soon, you will, if you have been faithful and we do all the things, you will receive the crown of glory. And let's lastly look at Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. But our citizenship, where is it? In Port Elizabeth? Oh, Quebeca? No. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 21 says, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And so, the question then is, are you ready? It's something that we have to settle in our hearts for ourselves to know. Are there hidden things? Are there things we keep away from others that they should not know that we're doing and so on? The Lord knows it all. Are we ready? Are we ready? If He came today, if He came now, every moment, any moment, are you ready?